Brothers, sisters, and friends, I certainly appreciate the opportunity of being a part of this meeting, and I ask that you pray for me this morning as I try to speak to you for a little while, that the name of God can be glorified and that you can be edified. Now, I'm going to try this morning to be real careful about what I say. Brother Mark Hatcher, some more of you will remember this. I was preaching one about 4 or 5 years ago at the Fishing River Association at the first time that the state, that the University of Missouri had joined the SEC. And they came, Missouri came that year to Georgia, and Georgia just stomped all over them. So what did I do? When I got to the Fish and River Association, I made comment of that, and I said, welcome to the SEC. The next year, Missouri came to Georgia, and the tide turned around, and Missouri beat the pants off the state of Georgia. I did not know that I had given my phone number to so many people in the state of Missouri. We need to be careful. And I hope today that I'm going to try to be careful to preach the truth, and I hope that you pray for me for the little time that I stand before you. I've learned some lessons in my years of trying to preach to the Lord's people, that what I'm going to try to do is to follow the dictates of my mind, and I'm going to try to, I want you to understand something today, that I believe that there's three kinds of preaching that a Primitive Baptist preacher, as far as that goes, anybody else can do. I believe that there's text preaching, I believe that there's subject preaching, and I believe that there's shotgun preaching. Now, the first two are self-explanatory, but the third one is when it's talking about shotgun preaching, that you just go from, it's all preaching, but you go from this to this to this. Well, I'm going to try this morning, the Lord being my helper, I'm going to try to do a little subject preaching this morning. Now, I want to start to say this to you, that I believe in the grace of God. I believe today that we're saved by His grace. I believe that we're justified by His grace. I believe that we're redeemed by His grace. And I believe that we're one of these days going to be glorified by His grace. But on the other hand, we as the Lord's people believe in the grace of God, I want you also to understand that I believe there is some works for the Lord's people to do. Now, we don't do that in order to be a child of God. We do that because we are a child of God. So I'm going to try to speak to you this morning on that subject, preaching. I'm going to give you a word this morning that I believe that every one of us as the Lord's people ought to be doing. And that word is to stand. Now, if there's ever a time in America that the Lord's people need to be standing, it is right now. Because we live in perilous times. We live in a time when we're seeing things that was not imaginable in my childhood. So I want us to consider this morning, the Lord being my helper, I want us to consider that word of standing. And I believe today that there's some standing for us as the Lord's people to do. I believe that we can stand in. I believe that we can stand on. I believe we can stand fast. And I believe we can stand for at the same time. So I'm going to begin by going and calling your attention to a text of scripture found in the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 16. And this is what the prophet said about it. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Now, I want you to understand something. I believe today that there is people that are redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that don't walk in his ways. I believe that there's people today that's going to be housed in heaven and immortal glory that don't necessarily walk in his ways while they live on this earth. But if we're redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all it takes. Now, when it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths," I want to give you a definition this morning of what I think that the old paths are. You know, my father and my grandfather plowed a mule. Don't do that. I've got a tractor that, by the way, Brother Don wants to buy one of these days. And I plow a garden, and I ride the grandkids on it. And they told me when I bought the tractor that you service the thing after 55 hours. After the 55 hours, I go to the tractor place and get the oil and the oil filter for it. And I said, "My 55 hours is here. I want to get that thing, that stuff." And the man said, "Well, how long have you had it?" And I said, "6 years." And he said, "Boy, you're wearing that tractor out, aren't you?" Now, I tell you that to tell you, make a point, though. I don't believe that the ways that we're to stand in are the ways that some people wants to apply. I believe the ways that we're to stand in is, there is but one way, by the way. And Jesus Christ tells us what the way is. He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." So I believe it behooves the Lord's people today to stand in the old paths. I got some news for you. If those things that the scriptures teach was good enough for my grandparents, I believe they're good enough for me, and I believe they're good enough for my grandchildren to hold fast to. So I believe there's some standing today that every one of us ought today to be. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where is the good way, and walk therein." Now at the same time, I believe we got to go the other way. I believe there's some ways that the Lord's people, if we're going to stand in these ways, you ever try standing absolutely still? I can't do it. I'll get just as tired standing absolutely still. I won't do it while I'm trying to preach. I can't. And sometimes I wonder why. But after we've stood, I believe there's a way that we're to walk in the same way. And I believe today that, and it goes in the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, I believe it is. And it says, "O house of Jacob, come let us walk in the light of the Lord." I got some news for you folks today that while we stand in the ways, and we walk in, and we better be walking in His light. Because if we don't, we're going to stand totally today. We'll fall every time if we don't walk in His light. Well, so He says, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. I believe today that the Scripture has one central theme, and that theme is Jesus Christ. And I've made this statement. I got to be careful. I'm going to make a statement. Might be a little bit bold, all right? But I believe today, and I say this, if you can't find Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, you're going to have a hard time finding Him in the New Testament just as well. So I believe that when he says, in fact, whenever you look at it and you begin to notice, and whenever He quotes in the New Testament, when he says, it is written, He's not quoting from the book of Matthew or the book of Revelation. He's quoting from the Old Testament. So I believe, brethren, that the Old Testament is just as good and just as important for us, even though it might be the old way. I believe it's just as important for us to keep it today in our mind, to keep it today in what it teaches and how it applies in our life. All right, so he says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old ways. I believe there's a way for the Lord's today, people today to be standing. And I believe that I can give you, the Lord being my helper, I'm going to try to give you several more of those. All right, we've got the word stand in. I believe today that the Lord's people ought to be standing in a particular place. And we ought to be standing on some things as well. You go to the book, and it was quoted here last night, and maybe he won't mind if I go to it this morning. I'm going to call your attention to the book of 2 Corinthians. There's a place, there's a way today, there's some things to stand on. And I believe every one of us can stand on the promises of God. Because I believe the promises of God are sure. I believe the promises of God are steadfast. I believe whatever God does stands done forever. And you know, I'm going to just be honest with you today. I believe today in the eternal security of the Lord's people. I don't believe that He's ever going to lose one that He's redeemed. I don't believe that He's ever going to lose one that He's justified. I don't believe that He's ever going to lose one that He's glorified. Now, we got to be careful with that one. I'm going to be honest with you. When you look at it, you look around today, you don't see too many glorified people. I'm going to be, show me one somewhere. You're not going to see too many glorified people. I'm not, I was at a funeral of mine, a friend of mine one time, and I hate to admit this, but it's the truth. We've got some people in the state of Georgia that don't believe in the resurrection. They don't teach the resurrection. I'd heard that, and I'd heard that several times. Went to the funeral of a friend of mine, and right there, and got to talking to this fella and asking about it. I said, I believe there's some folks among you. I hear there's some folks among you that don't believe in the resurrection of the body. Well, come to find out that I was looking at one eyeball to eyeball, face to face, that I was looking at it. I'm telling you, this lady came up to me. And she said, I feel, if you haven't already experienced the resurrection, I feel sorry for you. Well, I got some news for you. There might be a resurrection that I've already been through, because I believe quickening is a resurrection of the body. But I believe that the Lord's going to come back one of these days, and He's going to raise those people, regardless of where they are. And then they're going to have a glorified body. Well, I left there just as troubled about that as I could be. And that worried me for days. My wife told me, she said, well, I got some, I want to tell you something. She said, there's an advantage of being of a non-resurrection. Boy, she didn't help my feelings a bit when she said that. She said, there's some advantage of a non-resurrection. I said, all right, if they are, tell me what it is. She said, it sure improved your preaching for a while. Now, I'm going to tell you this. There's some promises today that every one of us can stand on, because the Lord's made us a promise that he's going to come back to this earth one of these days, that he's going to call come forth, and every one of them that he's died for, every one of them that he's redeemed, every one of them that he's justified, every one of them that he's glorified, brother, they're going to be housed with him in heaven and immortal glory. Why? This is today is what we ought to be standing for. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And maybe Brother Stripling won't mind me going to that this morning. But in 1 Corinthians chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll get it in a minute. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says this. This is for in verse number 20. He says, for all the promises of God, all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him are amen. Do you know what that word, by the way? Do you know what that word amen means? We got a couple of lawyers in this group. I did a little study on that word. And if I don't know whether they still do it now or not, but if when somebody makes ours has got it, God saw it. Whenever that we made a will, and at the very end of that thing, that will said, amen. You know what that word amen means? It means so be it. That's what it means. That's why I believe today that if the promises of God are sure, if the promises of God are steadfast, I believe today that we can stand on them. And I believe, brother, that we better be standing on them as we live day by day by day by day. And in doing so, I believe we can show forth the mercy. I believe we can show forth the grace. I believe that we can show forth our belief in what we stand on and what we stand for. And furthermore, he says, all right, for all the mercies of God are in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Well, let's go to another one. And we're going to go to the book of 2 Peter this time. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse number 9, he says this. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm telling you today, I believe, I'm going to make another bold statement here today. I believe that every one of them that's redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of them that's bought by his blood, every one of them that's justified, every one of them that's glorified, I'm telling you, the day's coming. I believe that they're going to become. Have you ever been asked the question, do you know Jesus Christ? That don't bother me. You know what does bother me? Whether or not Jesus Christ knows me in the free part, that's what bothers me. I hope that he's going to know me. All right, he says the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, here's the bold statement. I believe that every one of them that's bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, that is redeemed by his blood, I believe there's some time between conception and the grave, brother, they're going to come to a spirit of repentance. Yeah. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, I went to a revival one time at a church there close to our house, and I heard this man say, he said, as I was 7 or 8 years old, and I knew better than that. He said, the Lord's going to come to you one time, and he said, if you don't respond, he's going to back off. The Lord's going to come to you the second time, and if you don't respond, he's going to back off. He's going to come to you the third time, and if you don't respond, brother, you're clean gone forever. I don't believe a word of that. Because if we're going to stand on his promise, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. I believe he's promised us. You know what the promise is? In the book of 1 John, he said, this is the promise. He has promised us eternal life. If the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, I want you to tell me how in the world I'm going to be lost from it, if it's promised. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, something just hit. So here goes. You got to be careful with that all. You know that. I don't believe that every human being is included in that all. But you know who the all is? All that the Lord Jesus Christ died for. All of them is going to come sometime or another. All of them is going to come to a spirit of repentance. They're going to come to a state whenever they know him for who he is. I believe the Apostle Paul did. I believe other people in the Scripture has. I believe they're going to know him. All right. So it says, and so we stand on, there's some ways today that you and I can stand in. There's some ways today that we better be standing on. And I believe today, let's go to another. I believe that in the Lord's people, I believe that we better be standing fast. But we got to give a definition of that word fast. It don't mean speed. I did most of the driving on this trip coming over here, and Brother Jesse was talking about his navigator. I had one, had two of them, actually. She looked over at the speedometer when I was out there on I-40. She said, do you know how fast you're going? She said, we hadn't got any money to give to the state of Oklahoma. That word don't mean quick. You know what it means? It means to stand firm. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. If there was a time in my life that if you wanted to upset me, that if you wanted to really stir up my anger, call me a hard shell. That would make me, I couldn't stand that term. Until one day, I looked it up. And you know what that word means? Stand fast, steadfast, unmovable. Brother, there's some things today that we need to be standing fast on. Well, there's some things that we need to be standing fast on. Let's go to the book of, again, to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 13. And this is what it says. It says, watch ye. You know, I believe there's some looking for us to do. I'm an avid high school football fan. Be honest with you. We did a football game one Friday night. I saw, bumped into a friend of mine. What, and I spoke to him, stood there and talked to him for a while. He said, what in the world are you doing here? Just like I didn't have any business. Well, I might not have. He said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm here for the same reason you are. I'm here to see the Ringgold Tigers or whoever play football. But there was something else I hoped that I was doing. That wasn't the only watching that I was doing. I'm hoping that I was watching for and waiting for and longing for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a, my wife has got an uncle that's a Southern Baptist preacher. Now, this is not knocking anybody. But I talk to him, and we clash, by the way, sometimes. But, no, I'm not kidding. But it worries him because there's so many people out there that they hadn't got to. Well, I'm telling you, if we need to be standing fast on some things. But just because they have missed hearing the gospel preached, it's not going to keep them out of heaven. Amen. It's not going to keep them. If it were, I can take you in the book of Acts where the Spirit of God didn't allow the Apostle Paul to go. We need to be standing firm. And I believe today that we need to be standing firm on some certain principles. And I believe the things that we need to be standing on are the principles today of what this book teaches. We need to be standing firm in the fact that God's grace is sufficient for us. We need to be standing fast on the fact that the Lord's coming back after every one of those that are His. We need to stand fast on that. We need to stand firm on that. All right, so it says in this text of Scripture, watch and stand fast in the faith. There's a place today for the Lord's people to be standing. We need to be standing in the faith. Now, I'm going to have to take that just a little bit further. I don't believe that you can have faith without having hope. You know that? I believe we can stand on both of them. Hope's the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. If you can't have one of those without having the other, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. The evidence of things not seen. I've had a whole lot of folks tell me that I wish I knew what was going to happen tomorrow. What's going to happen next week? What's going to happen next month, next year? I don't. Because if something bad's going to happen to me, if worry's a sin, brother, I'd be a bad one. Because I'd be worrying about that every day, every day, every day, every day. Is it getting closer? Is it getting closer? But we need to be standing fast
in the faith.
We need to be standing fast in the faith that the Lord's coming back. That He saved every one of us by His grace. That we're not gonna every one of us be eternally lost. So I believe today that there's some ways that we, as the Lord's people, can stand. We can stand in, we can stand on, and we can stand fast. I got news for you. We better be standing for as well. There's some things today that the Lord's people has got no business standing for. You know that? At the same time, I like high school football. Confession's good for the soul. I also like country music. Some of the older country music. Let's qualify that a little bit. Because some of it today, I don't care about this. But there's an old country song that says if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. There's some of the Lord's people that's redeemed, that's justified, that'll fall for anything. But I'm telling you, the place today that we need to be doing, that we need to be where we need to be, is we need to be standing for some things. Let's go to the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. You know, you've got some pretty good promises in the prophecy of Isaiah. Where it says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received at the Lord's hand double for all her sin. There's some pretty good promises in the book of Isaiah. But Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 8 is where we want to go. And it says this. It says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth. One of these days, this earth's a temporary place anyhow. You know what? Back during the Second World War, there's a bunch of military posts sprang up all over the country. But they referred to them as being a camp. Wouldn't call it a fort, it's a camp. You know why? That camp is a temporary place. This world is a temporary place. That's why our conversation ought to be in heaven, because this world's temporary. And I believe this text proves it. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. I told you I got a pretty good garden back there in Georgia. My wife showed me an email that she got from the neighbors this morning. We told them to watch out after the place. The garden's out there. I'm out here in the state of Oklahoma, and they're picking my beans and my squash and sending me the pictures of it. That's the sad part. They're sending me the pictures. This is what we're getting while you're out there. Well, that's all right. I'm having a better time than they are. But it says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. I believe that whatever this book teaches us, we better be holding fast to it We better be holding firm to it. We better be standing on it. We better be standing in it, because this will last
whenever the world's gone.
The Word of God will stand forever.
You know why? Because I am God and I change not. Therefore,
you sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know, I've always heard the Primitive Baptist funeral preached all my life. You ever heard one? That after this generation, we're not going to have many more. They're not going to be in our hair. They're not going to be in our way. I got some news for you. If we stand on the Word of God, there's going to be somebody somewhere when the Lord comes back contending for these very things. Amen. Call me a fatalist if you want to. It might not be in the state of Oklahoma. It might not be in the state of Georgia. It's going to be somewhere. Because I believe today that the Word of God will stand forever. Amen. So let's stand in it. Let's stand on it. Let's stand for it. And let's keep it. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.